says, if you think you've more to trust in the flesh, he says, I more. But what things were gained to me, verse 7, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Everything in his life, all these great characteristics that he had, this great heritage, he said, I count them but dung, absolutely worthless, not something to desire. They're all dung that I may win Christ. He realized that Christ was the answer to everything.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need.
Jesus, let it make me whole.
Welcome to our program today. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and we are delighted that you have joined us on Let the Bible Speak. You've been listening to Precious, Precious Blood of Jesus by the Jubilee Choir of the Free Presbyterian Church. Yesterday we considered the message together. Here, because of Christ, there is a Savior, a Redeemer, and we are reminded of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle Paul speaks to the church at Corinth, and he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures."
And he says who he was. He was circumcised. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. He had zeal. He thought he was serving God and persecuting the church. He thought he was serving God. He says, if you think you've more to trust in the flesh, he says, I more. But what things were gained to me, verse 7, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung that I may win Christ. Everything in his life, all these great characteristics that he had, this great heritage, he said, I count them but dung, absolutely worthless, revolting, disgusting, not something to desire. They're all dung that I may win Christ. He realized that Christ was the answer to everything. And you today, if you think you can earn salvation, Paul says, I was better than you, but I still need a Christ. I was more religious and zealous, and I had this great history, but I still needed the Savior. I still needed his salvation. I still needed him to change my life. And now everything else is but dung in comparison to the excellency of Christ. Oh, is that how you feel today? When you look around you, everything is worthless when you compare them to the Lord Jesus Christ. The fairest of 10,000 to my soul, the blessed lily of the valley, the one who shed his blood and died for our sins. He died for our sins because there was no other Savior. There is one God, Paul said, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, the one who died for the sins of his people. Andrew Gray, the old Scottish Puritan, he died at a very young age, the age of 22, I believe. He said this, "Oh, what a sight it was to see those blessed hands that never wrought iniquity, to be pierced through, and his precious feet, the sound whereof was never heard in the paths of unrighteousness, to be thrust through. And that blessed side of his pierced with a lance. Oh, what a sight it was to see the infinite and eternal Son of God so handled for our cause." Christians stand astonished at this. Do we stand astonished how the infinite and eternal Son of God died for us? This is a table of astonishment to us, because Christ died for our sins. The holy and pure, infinite, eternal Son of God humbled himself, humiliated himself to die for us. And as we come to his table, that is what we're remembering. We who could not save ourselves, Christ died for us, and Christ suffered for us. Sin is that disease that can only be healed through Christ. And that work is an effective work. What does our text say in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3? says how the Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And the people of God can testify to that fact. He bore our burdens and our curses on Calvary as he suffered the wrath of God for us. It was finished. Christ cried out, "It is finished." That phrase in the Greek is one word. It's a word that means complete or concluded or accomplished. To make an end of something, to perform a completed act. And those meanings show forth what Christ did for you and I upon the cross. He finished it. We consider this morning the Judaizers in the adult Sunday school and how they sought to add to the work of Christ the ceremonies of Judaism. The work of salvation in their mind was not completed. You had to conform to these ceremonies and trust Christ. But the Word of God tells us Christ died for our sins. That's enough. It's finished. That work of salvation is finished. Peter tells us Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. It's a sufficient work and an effective work. Hymn writer said, "For me, Lord Jesus, thou hast died, and I have died in thee. Thou art risen, my bands are all untied, and now thou livest in me." An effective salvation. The Savior said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And dear believer, as we come to the Lord's table today, we're reminded of that. It's a sufficient and a finished work. We will never be lost. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan and brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary for us and for our salvation. And Christ died for our sins, not some of them, but all of them. And we can rest assured and have that assurance that all is well with our souls. Oh, do we rejoice in the salvation of Christ? Do we rejoice that he died for us? Do we rejoice today coming to the Lord's table? Or do we think, well, the service is going to be a little longer because it's Communion Sunday? And therefore, we sing an extra hymn and we have an extra reading and we've some prayers and then the elders have to walk around with the bread and wine and it takes time. Is that your attitude today? Are you desirous that we come to the table, desirous to partake, to think of Christ who died for you, who redeemed you, a hell-deserving sinner but saved by his grace? Do you know him today? Do you know the power of his salvation, how that he died for our sins according to the Scriptures? Oh, that you would turn from sin and believe. This table will be a witness to you that Christ can save and Christ will save those who come unto him. Dear believer, Christ died to redeem us from our sins, that we would live righteously and not live unto sin. In Romans 8, we are reminded, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Paul told the church in Colossians, "Mortify therefore your members, put them to death." That does not mean put to death the members of the church, by the way. "Mortify therefore your members," meaning yourself and your faculties and who you are. Mortify them. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, evil desires and lusts. That's what it means. And covetousness, which is idolatry. Mortify those members. Mortify yourself is what the apostle is saying. Deal with that sin by the grace and help and power of the Spirit. Because Christ died for you and Christ died for that sin. And we're not to live in sin because Christ died for us. But we're to flee that sin because Christ died for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we are reminded there regarding the Lord's table, that we are to examine ourselves. Let a man examine himself. And so in light of Christ dying for our sins, we're to examine ourselves. Are we living in sin? Is lust gaining the victory over us? or the things in our lives that we need to sort out by the grace of God. We're to examine ourselves. Many churches only hold the Lord's table once or twice a year. It's a big event for them. I'm not critical of that, but some of those churches would be critical of a more regular communion like we have once per month, or those churches that have communion every week. But the great counter to that criticism is this thought: examine yourselves. And we're to do that all the time as believers. We're to be sanctified by the Spirit of God, and that involves an examining of ourselves. But the Lord's table, in light of what the apostle commands in 1 Corinthians 11, is a motivation and an opportunity afresh for us to do so. And therefore, when we regularly come to the Lord's table, we are regularly reminded in 1 Corinthians 11, examine yourself. A regular examining of ourselves in light of Scripture. And that's what we need. That's what we need. We should always be examining ourselves. And let it encourage us. Let coming to the Lord's table encourage us to look at ourselves, to mortify, to put to death the sin within us. Why? Because Christ died for that sin. Why then would we live in sin? Let us, by God's grace, put it to death and live righteously for Him. But I want you to notice here, thirdly, that we are here not only because Christ died for us, but because Christ was preached to us. We see this in verse 2 and verse 3, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I have delivered you unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The Corinthians had received the gospel through the preaching of Christ. And this gospel then is the foundation not only of their church, but every church. It was preached in the establishment of the church, and it is preached for the edification or the building up of that church. And that reminds us very clearly that we are to place ourselves under a church ministry that makes much of the gospel of Christ, that preaches Christ. Being desirous of a ministry that places the gospel at the rightful center place. And that is important. That is important. Are you holding fast to the truths of the gospel that have been preached? Are you focused upon the need of the preaching of the Word of God? So many places preaching is set aside. It's not needed. It's not necessary. But yet the Word of God tells us about the preaching of the cross, 1 Corinthians 1. The primacy of preaching. We consider that at the adult Sunday school as well. How these churches in the book of Acts were established and built and furthered through what? The preaching of the gospel of Christ. The preaching of Christ and His cross. Foolishness to the world. Foolishness to the world. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, the power of God. We are here because Christ is preached. And Christ has been preached to us. Maybe through personal witness rather than a sermon from a pulpit. But regardless, Christ was set forth as the way of salvation. We are here because Christ is preached here. We are here because Christ has been preached to us. We are here at the Lord's table because of the preaching of Christ. Let us desire that. Let us treasure that. And that is our duty as a church and our duty as believers, to desire the setting forth of Christ and His truth. It is fundamental here to the church of Corinth, understanding and knowing the gospel of Christ. Paul isn't coming here to these believers and saying, it may be true that Christ died. And in case it's true, we are to make sure we're right with God. But I'm not entirely sure, but just in case. Paul was absolutely convinced. It was not a maybe about the gospel. He knew it was the truth. And therefore, the truth, as we've said before, the truth should motivate us to act. The truth should motivate us to act. The fire alarm went off in this building and we started to see smoke and flames. What does that truth do to you? It encourages you to run for the exit, to get out of here. And the truth of the gospel, the truth that Christ died for sinners, should motivate you to seek him for your soul salvation. It should motivate the believer to desire that truth and to have that truth preached and to be a witness of that truth. How can you be saved? How can you be sure of salvation? Listen to the preaching of Christ. Don't ignore the scriptures being expounded and applied. Christ was preached. We ought to treasure preaching. We ought to desire preaching. Today we have access to more preaching than this world ever has access to. If I said at the end of this service I'm going to sit down and I'm not going to preach again in this pulpit until I've listened to every single sermon that is on sermon audio, then I'll come back. Well, I'm never going to preach here again because there are so many sermons available to listen to that I'll never get through them all before my days are gone. We have so much access to preaching, so much access to good preaching, so much access to hearing the word of God. Let us not just limit it to the Lord's Day as well, but throughout the week, let us use opportunities to listen to preaching, to listen to the word of God, to read the word of God as well, to read books, as those books preach to us the truths of God and salvation. We're here because of preaching. Let us treasure it. But finally, we're here because Christ was believed by us. Christ was believed by us. They believed. They received the word. And they believed. Verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Their faith was put in Christ. And that is the message of the gospel, to believe. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, was the answer to the jailer. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Place your faith in him. Place your trust in him. Turn from your sin. Believe that he died to redeem sinners. And we are here redeemed and around the table of God because Christ died and we believe by the grace of God. The apostle says, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Do we have a belief in God, a belief in Christ? A firm belief when troubles and trials come our way? Do we have a belief in the keeping power of God? Where is your belief? Where is your faith and your peace and rest today? May it be in the blessed Savior. Paul preached a gospel and urged men to believe. Believe. Do you believe today? Do you believe in the Savior who died for our sins? Are you resting secure that whatever happens in life, you know that he died for you? You know you're saved. You know you're delivered. There's a peace. The hymn writer said, he is not a disappointment. Jesus is far more to me than in all my glowing daydreams I had fancied he could be. And the more I get to know him, so the more I find him true, and the more I long that others should be led to know him too. He is not a disappointment. He is all in all to me. Savior, sanctifier, keeper, the unchanging Christ is he. He has won my heart's affections, and he meets my every need. He is not a disappointment, for he satisfies indeed. May we consider why we are really here. Here because of Christ. May we love him more. May we rejoice in him. May we say he is not a disappointment, for he satisfies indeed. May the Lord bless his word today for his name's sake. Amen.
Today's Spurgeon devotional comes from Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. Strong in faith. Christian, take good care of thy faith, for recollect, faith is the only way whereby thou canst obtain blessings. If we want blessings from God, nothing can fetch them down but faith. Prayer cannot draw down answers from God's throne, except it be the earnest prayer of the man who believes. Faith is the angelic messenger between the soul and the Lord Jesus in glory. Let that angel be withdrawn. We can neither send up prayer nor receive the answers. Faith is the telegraphic wire which links earth and heaven, on which God's messengers of love fly so fast that before we call, he answers, and while we are yet speaking, he hears us. But if that telegraphic wire of faith be snapped, how can we receive the promise? Am I in trouble? Can I obtain help for trouble by faith? Am I beaten about by the enemy? My soul in her dear refuge leans by faith. But take faith away, in vain I call to God. There is no road betwixt my soul and heaven. In the deepest winter time, faith is a road on which the horses of prayer may travel, aye, and all the better for the biting frost. But blockade the road, and how can we communicate with the great King? Faith links me with divinity. Faith clothes me with the power of God. Faith engages on my side the omnipotence of Jehovah. Faith ensures every attribute of God in my defence. It helps me to defy the hosts of hell. It makes me march triumphant over the necks of my enemies. But without faith, how can I receive anything of the Lord? Let not him that wavereth, who is like a wave of the sea, expect that he will receive anything of God. O then, Christian, watch well thy faith, for with it thou canst win all things, however poor thou art, but without it thou canst obtain nothing. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. We trust that our program today has been a blessing to your heart and to your soul. Thank you for joining us on Let the Bible Speak, and we look forward to seeing you again. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.